But the fact that these three former, one current and two former presidents are sharing stages now makes clear that it is the Democrats versus Trump. You're not just voting for Biden, you're voting for the triumvirate and the Democrats. And that is a very powerful message to me.
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby. It's Monday, April 1st, which means it's Media Monday. Today, I'm joined by John Kelly to talk about President Biden's media strategy and why anxious Democrats are suddenly feeling good about their chances in November after many months of panic. John also has a postscript on NBC News and the internal backlash in the newsroom against the hiring of former RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel. And we discuss how Netflix could end up with a chunk of the NBA's coveted broadcast rights. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of The Powers That Be. Are you tired of sleeping hotter than hell? I sure am. I sleep hot. There's something crucial about sleep that eludes us when we're too warm, too uncomfortable, and too caught in the web of our own thoughts to drift off. And while curiosity fuels our days, science tells us that cool sleep recharges our nights. That's where Chili Pad by SleepMe comes in. Meet the bed cooling system that elevates the quality of human life through cool sleep. The Chili Pad bed cooling system is your new bedtime solution. I love it. It lets you customize your sleeping environment to your optimal temperature, ensuring you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. Chili Pad works with your existing mattress. It's a water-based mattress topper that continuously controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees, allowing your body to rest and recover. This isn't just about escaping the heat, it's also about optimizing your sleep for better health, more energy, and improved physical and cognitive performance, which I obviously need hosting a podcast. Chili Pads are designed for one or two sleepers, so if your sleep partner likes to sleep at a different temperature, or you only need it for one side of the bed, that's okay too, and we know that's crucial. Plus, you can schedule automated temperature changes to trigger deep sleep. But when I'm at home, Chili Pad solves those problems. So trust me on this one. Visit sleep.me/powers to get your Chili Pad and save up to $315 with code POWERS. This offer is available exclusively for Powers That Be listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today with free shipping and try it out for 30 days. You can return it for free if you don't like it with their sleep trial. Visit www.sleep.me/powers because you're not just investing in better sleep, you're creating a better life. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy April Fool's Day. What else is going on? Get your taxes in. It's Media Monday. I'm joined by John Kelly, of course, to talk about all things media. We have a grab bag episode today. We're going to talk about Ronna McDaniel and NBC, talk about Biden's media strategy. We're going to talk about the NBA and Netflix. But first, because you need to have a little banter at the beginning of every podcast, we're going to talk about the beginning of youth baseball season in New Jersey. How is that going for you? Are you full-blown like travel team dad at this point, John? Are you like driving all over the tri-state area for baseball tournaments, or are the kids not that age yet?
Well, the kids can't quite drive themselves. No, we're Peter's making fun of me because it's funny. I thought about changing before getting on this show here. I'm wearing my coach's gear. I got my fitted Montclair hat on. I got my my quarter zip coach schmata on right now too. And it's like all of 42 degrees outside in the Northeast, and I've been outside for hours trying to do my small part to prepare these great young minds for their first game in a week. And of course you're driving everywhere. These things take up hours of your life. Your children are inevitably never as grateful as they should be for all the unsung work that goes into it. But I gotta tell you, this actually, I love this. This is like my sort of secret inner id coming out when my older son got to the age where
you know, that this became a thing for him, I immediately volunteered to do this because there's nothing more fun and refreshing in the world than being around 10-year-old boys. Let me tell you, like, you know, the amount of like, oh, you suck, light hitter. It's really, it's hilarious. And then I let my my kid now listen to like the rap that I grew up with when we're in the car on the way there, and he's starting to like, you know, swear with the lyrics and stuff. Anyway, it's a blast.
What rap are you talking about? You put it on like the first Ice Cube album?
Oh, well, like, it's funny. No, not quite that. Oh, that's true. That would apply. The Predator. We listened to, I introduced him to Shook Ones Part 2 for the first time the other day. And so, and all that kind of like syrupy New York rap from, you know, the early 90s is, it's very out of vogue, obviously, for a lot of reasons. When you listen to stuff, you sort of can't believe that Tipper Gore's hair didn't totally go on fire when she raged against all of it. But world's a much more sanitary place now than it was back then. That is sure.
Well, John, I got you stuck off the realness. We be the infamous here at the powers that be. We love Mobb Deep. That's the first Mobb Deep reference on this podcast.
Oh, my God. Completely. And no one got it besides me.
Me and you.
That's it.
So, John, speaking of New York and the tri-state area, there's been something percolating on my mind the last few days, which is, I think I saw a cranky White House reporter tweet about this, because this is what they do when presidents end run the mainstream media and the White House press corps and do things that reach larger audiences. President Biden did an interview last week alongside Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, two other former presidents, for the Smartless podcast with Will Arnett, Jason Bateman, and Sean Hayes. This is a big podcast audience, goes right into the bloodstream of Gen X normies and old millennials. That's exactly the kind soft, low information voter that the Biden campaign wants to go after this cycle. What do you think about the strategy? This is not new. I feel like White House reporters are still getting aggravated this, like a full 10 years after Barack Obama did Between Two Ferns and, you know, did those interviews with YouTubers like Glozell back in 2014, 2015. I mean, this is something that politicians have wanted to do and tried to do for eons. Now they have more platforms, avenues, and lanes than ever to not talk to the White House press corps, not talk to the mainstream press, and talk directly to audiences without having to deal with pesky gotcha questions. What do you think about Biden doing Smartless?
Well, not to extend the metaphor from our little ramble session there, but you know, the world has been moneyballized because of the, you know, the rampant, exorbitant rise in technology and a more sort of facile understanding of you know, how data flows through the system. So these sort of appearances actually do make less and less sense to me. They seem nostalgic, because in reality, going on Smartless isn't going to do jack for Biden, right? I mean, this election, I would surmise.
So?
And I don't know. I don't. I think that this election comes down to 12 regions of the country, the sort of Milwaukee, Miami, Phoenix suburbs, etc. I mean, you're the expert here, not I. I can see that immediately. I think that there's more of an optics thing in Smartless, and this actually is the part that interests me. You know, our colleague and partner Tara wrote about this a bit last week. We're trying to, the Democratic Party is ushering out the three wise men here, right? Clinton, Obama, and Biden. They were at a huge fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall last Thursday. The detail I loved, Katzenberg and Anna Wintour threw this, and they were charging, I think, like $100,000 for an Annie Leibovitz grip and grin with the president, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know better than I, too, there's a ton of complicated, multi-decades-long relationship tension between these guys, for all the obvious reasons. Biden thinks he doesn't get enough credit, and that he's probably more successful in some ways legislatively than Obama. Obama, obviously, and the Obama people, you know, I want to say underestimate, but I think that they, they never quite gave Biden the public gratification that he felt that he deserved. Certainly, they elevated Hillary Clinton over Biden, which they would have done, I think, even if Beau Biden had not tragically passed away. Anyway, it's complicated. And there are inevitably, you know, Axios and Politico stories that come up every number of months about their relationship. So I'm very fascinated that everyone's gotten together, that the entire party is now co-signing this. You know, to me, this is the ultimate sign of the DNC taking no shit. They don't want any specter, not even a 0.001% edge case of any Pritzker Newsom rumors or anything like that. And you've been early and often about this, and I've got to give you a lot of credit that you've been quite right to ignore all the sort of bedwetting and you know, looking around for a Biden alternative. But the fact that these three former, one current and two former presidents are sharing stages now, and Tara suggested that there'll be, you know, a first lady version of this. Maybe there's a chief of staff version. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a sec def version of this. Makes clear that it is the Democrats versus Trump. You're not just voting for Biden. You're voting for the triumvirate and the Democrats. And that is a very powerful message to me.
Yeah. Our partner, Teddy Schleifer, went on my pal Alex Michelson's Fox 11 show, out here in Los Angeles, which is broadcast statewide every week. And on Thursday night, and echoed your point, he said, can you imagine, this is Teddy, can you imagine this event happening with Donald Trump, Mitt Romney, and George W. Bush, or even Mike Pence? Like, they're, for all the knocks on the Democratic Party, sure, for being uncool, totally, and disorganized and all the bedwetting you mentioned, I mean, the Republican Party is just Donald Trump. I mean, they just forced out 60 RNC staffers in the middle of a campaign. Like Joe Biden, too, is raising so much money. This event that we're talking about, New York, raised over $25 million, which is the biggest single fundraising event in American political history. And it's a time to be a show of force, too, because it's right before the end of the first quarter fundraising deadline. Yep. So they're going to turn around and announce this in a few weeks. Joe Biden has raised $75 million, $100 million. They're opening offices in North Carolina, 10 field offices, whereas like Trump is trying to pay off his legal bills by selling Bibles. The RNC can't even say if they're going to have field offices in North Carolina. The race is still tied. Biden has sort of had some movement toward him in recent weeks after his State of the Union address, 1.5-2 points. I think that the Democrats are feeling themselves. I mean, they... Yep. Recently think they got some momentum out of the State of the Union. They feel that marginal voters are coming around to realize that there is no Biden alternative. And they're seeing and thinking about the choice between Trump and Biden. And Trump, again, is dealing with legal issues. And he's in courtrooms. He's playing golf and selling Bibles. And, you know, the one thing I will say about the Smartless event and this fundraiser is that don't underestimate Barack Obama as a campaign surrogate. I mean, he is going to be a huge asset for Biden. And like the point of doing the Smartless thing is, you know, I don't know how many persuadable voters are out there, but it's in concert with the narrative after the State of the Union, which is that voters coming back to Joe Biden, him reminding them that he's competent, him reminding them of the choice, him reminding them that he's not in the coffin just yet. And so if he can be a little loose, funny, and relatable on a show like Smartless alongside his best validator, Barack Obama, I think that's an asset. John, I just want to ask you really quickly before we go to break, your macro thoughts on the Ronna McDaniel calamity at NBC News that Dylan really nailed in his reporting. Yeah. We had a big blockbuster podcast about this whole scandal last week that everyone should go check out for some deeper thoughts on Ronna McDaniel. But you're such a wordsmith, John. I just, you know, wanted to hear your thoughts as a leader of a newsroom, as a political observer. What did you think about this whole disaster?
Boy, this is a situation in which everyone lost. In fact, I'd almost argue that the only person, that the person who came out the best in this was Ronna McDaniel on some level. Like, as crazy as that sounds, you know, and NBC only has to pay her $600,000 to go away. I'm sure there's probably going to be a little bit heaped on top of that as Brian Friedman, you know, inevitably finds a way to push around Cesar Conde and the business affairs group at NBC News Group. Here are, I guess, my, like, top line thoughts. Dylan's original piece last Wednesday referenced the hunger cries of late stage linear. That's what's going on here. It's so obvious to me that this actually, in an alternate universe, could have gone through just fine. They could have done an interview where Christian Welker allowed Ronna McDaniel to basically do a sort of Leah Remini after Scientology and say, oh my God, I was this crazy person who believed in, you know, this batshit theory about election denialism, and I've changed my tune and I wish I was braver earlier, but I'm not. And people gave her a golf clap and she was, you know, welcomed into some version of polite-ish Republican society in Washington. Now, obviously, that didn't happen. What seems to have happened is that Christian Welker didn't realize that she was being co-opted by her bosses at NBC and being used to sanitize this, because she'd met with her beforehand, and that was completely used and justified as a sort of talent rubber stamping of this. You know, there's clearly a mandate to get more Republican voices on the air, which has never worked at NBC News. Never. Greta Van Susteren, Megyn Kelly, these were two of the reasons Andy Lack is no longer there. Speaking of Andy Lack, part of why he was jettisoned years ago, or politely, you know, side-doored, is because management doesn't want relationship-based people in these jobs anymore. They want business people, like Cesar Conde. And Cesar Conde maybe have most of the power there, and maybe a very smart person. He is a very smart person, but he is outnumbered by the number of journalists and powerful TV journalists there, none of whom have the appropriate amount of respect for him. What happened to me, you know, look, Ronna McDaniel should never have been hired. That was a bad mistake, and I think people probably got over their skis. But what happened to me was staggering, and it was childish. You know how you handle a situation like that? You grit your teeth, you go to your boss and say, hey, this person is disgusting. They don't believe in free and fair elections. And it's really offensive to me and the work that I do at this network. Don't put this person on the air. But instead, what happened was Chuck Todd, basically, you know, who's been a minister without a portfolio and was sidelined years ago, went on and used this soapbox to create an open call. I mean, Dylan nailed this to basically challenge his colleagues, almost like the kids jumping on the desks in Dead Poet Society to say, oh, Captain, my Captain, I can't believe we hired her. And we at NBC News, we know you at NBC News don't believe that the election was rigged. We know that. We know that it was a boneheaded HR move. But let's please not turn this into some biblical event here. So I think everyone looked awful. And I think it's also silly, too. Like, we have to be honest here. You know, is Rachel Maddow, who makes $20 million a year for one day of work, a real Bernie-crat who's standing up for people who believe in the First Amendment? Come on. That's not the case. Nicole Wallace, who supported George W. Bush in a completely unwarranted, you know, multi-year-long invasion of Iraq. Has she been sanitized?
And Sarah Palin.
And Andrew Sarah Palin. Yeah, a more Ronna-level crime, I would suggest. NBC News has been good to these people. Why would they handle their business that way? It really doesn't make sense. So here's what I think is going to happen. Cesar sent a note. Everyone's privately fulminating at Cesar, which Dylan, you know, reported as well. And when Chuck Todd's contract comes up, it's not going to get renewed. When a number of these other anchors' deals come up, they're going to be told that we don't do this kind of stuff around here anymore. And this business, which has gotten smaller in the last couple of years, will keep getting smaller. And everyone will be pointing fingers at everyone else. This was a terrible, terrible situation for everyone involved.
An unvarnished take from the boss man, John Kelly, on NBC. That's why you come and listen to the powers that be. We're going to take a quick break, John, and I want to ask you if you think Netflix has a shot at getting NBA rights.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to the Powers That Be, everybody. This is not an April Fool's joke. According to our colleague, John Oren, who covers sports and the business of sports for his newsletter, The Varsity, that everyone should subscribe to, Adam Silver, NBA commissioner, has been thinking about, obviously, the big streamers and what to do when NBA rights contracts come up, which is soon. We think the same players are going to get these deals, John. ESPN, Disney, and then you know, I mean, you can't get rid of Barkley and Kenny and Shaq for the TNT crowd also. But he mentioned something in his newsletter that I found interesting, which is, and John is someone who's been through these stories before, he feels more bullish than ever that the NBA might do some kind of deal with the NBA, perhaps around something like the in-season tournament that they started this year, that sort of early season. You know, how long was that? Like a week or two? You know, and they would own all rights to that, and they could broadcast it globally. What do you think? Is Netflix a good home for the NBA?
Well, you know, Netflix would be a fringe participant in this. The NBA is currently in the exclusive window negotiating with Disney, ESPN, ABC, et cetera, and Warner Brothers Discovery, which is you know, the home of TNT, and I guess True is also going to be possibly an NBA home. They will both take large packages. There will almost certainly be a third large package that NBC seems to be very interested in acquiring, and I'm sure Peacock is a component of that as well. And the NBA, even though it has a very forward-looking group of owners who are a bit younger than, you know, say the membership of the NFL, which is a lot more old money and kind of, you know, more Jerry Jones-like in composition, there is a fear of moving to streaming too quickly, because they worry that they'll make the product inaccessible, since there are still, you know, 60 million people are watching linear, and it's very easy to find a game on ESPN on your boob tube, and a little slightly more complicated, I suppose, on YouTube TV and these other services. The challenge they face, though, is they have so many options. They have so many suitors. You know, they have League Pass, which Amazon and Google YouTube TV both would love.
Well, yeah, to get sorry their to hands interrupt, on. John, but that's one thing that jumped out at me as a curiosity here, which is if you are an NBA head, you have League Pass, and you've had NBA League Pass since, like, 2004. I mean, that's where you stream NBA games if you're a fan.
Right. If you're a very, very intense fan who loves the NBA and wants to watch out of market games, I have League Pass. It's an incredibly valuable product. But the more casual fan who wants to watch the big game is going to watch, you know, Kenny, Shaq, and Sir Charles, right? Or, you know, the Sunday packages, or, you know, the Christmas Day packages, et cetera. So they do not want to alienate that large endemic audience. And what they are fearful of, and as we have this conversation, it's already clear how real the fear is, that they essentially bifurcate into existentialism their product. I mean, we're talking about three packages in the future, right? There are currently two. They'll move to three biggies. That's already a little bit confusing. What's on NBC? What's on ABC? What's on ESPN? What's on TNT, right? And then you have a League Pass on one of the big streamers from one of the huge fan companies. And then you contemplate Netflix having a play-in game or an in-season tournament. It's complicated. And for Netflix, it's definitely a, I assume, a dress rehearsal. They are interested in this, fascinatingly, not because
of the their, you know, of extending their interest in things like Full Swing and this PGA tournament that they've gotten into. They're interested in it because the majority of the NBA's audience, particularly now, is international. If you think about the biggest stars in the league, they are, with the exception of like Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and LeBron, they're all foreign players. So the NBA was very smart. It's always been an internationalist-focused league. You know, from the David Stern era through Yao Ming and Houston, they've bundled their rights, so foreign and international are renewed at the same time. And Netflix experiences all of its growth internationally. You can, the, you know, United States and Canada region, that's pretty much flat for Netflix. So they're incredibly interested in seeing what they can do with, you know, a 9-10 play-in game that, you know, may involve like Victor Wembanyama from France. So that's what's interesting there. And my hunch is, I don't think it's going to work out this time. I think the NBA is going to get cold feet about having, about getting too cute here. But I think Netflix is absolutely going to be a player. And, oh my God, I mean, play this thing forward a couple of years, Peter. I can't wait till we listen to the powers that be's, like, you know, 5th or 10th anniversary. And we laugh that we were so naive as to not recognize that Netflix was going to have the rights to not just, you know, WWE, but also the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, pickleball, curling, you know, the Montclair 10U travel baseball team, and beyond.
I would definitely watch Montclair 10U baseball if I could see you on the sidelines screaming at the ump for calling a ball a strike or something. Just to punctuate the international market thing about the NBA, we were in Mexico City a couple years ago, and we were walking through Polanco, which is sort of pretty touristy commercial area of Mexico City, and there's a big NBA store there. And I'm sure there's big NBA stores in all sorts of European and Asian capitals. The big three players that they had plastered on the exterior of this NBA store were, one, LeBron, obviously, but it wasn't Steph, you know, it wasn't Durant. The other two were Giannis and Luka. And you're absolutely right about their international reach and their international marketing and their international goals, and Netflix would put them squarely there. John, thanks so much, buddy. Enjoy baseball season, but I will see you in the Slack.
See you in the Slack, man.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck. We'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.